Hey everybody, now that summer is finally over, it is time to talk about what I read the last few months. I only started reading new books in the middle of July, and during that time I read 15 novels and a novella. So to start off with, I rate things on a 5-star scale. Since I am mostly reading indie novels, if I don't have a book that I think is at least a solid 3-star, maybe even higher, then I have a tendency just to stop reading it as soon as I decide on that point. And then most of the time, I don't end up putting those reviews up on Goodreads or one of my review channels. So that leaves me looking like I have a ton of 4- and 5-star books that I just have absolutely no quality control for. But I assure you that's not the case. In addition to these 16 books, I also had 6 books that I had a did not finish on that would have been 1- or 2-star ratings. I'll break the books down in order, starting with the favorite book I read this summer. And there is a clear winner on that one. I'm going to fully admit that when I decided to go back and read all of the former SPIFBO winners as the first new books that I read in a while, I didn't expect that Rain and Ruin by J.D. Evans would top that list. For those of you who have not read it or are unaware of it, it is a romantasy, which means that, of course, there is a large romantic element to the novel. But I would like to start off by saying that while romance absolutely is in the novel, probably not like a big part of it until like 2/3 of the way through, the world building is amazing. It loosely follows the our Middle East. You have two kingdoms. You have the daughter of a sultan on one side and the brother of the king of a kingdom that formed by breaking off from the original sultanate during a civil war. The two sides hate each other. That's largely a result of the way the magic system works. The way the magic system works is it's based on a wheel. There are 6 different mage groups. Each one of those mages has a corresponding magic system that's diametrically opposed to them. So you have water on one side, fire on the other. You also have life and death. Then you have earth and wind. That magic system was absolutely one of my favorite parts of this book. There are some info dumps, but I've mentioned before that I absolutely love info dumps, and the world building is just top notch. I had no problems understanding what was going on. The way the magic system is spelled out is pretty awesome. And yes, there is some romance, and there are a couple sex scenes at the end of the novel, just so that you know. But I found that The way the relationship unfolded felt so organic and natural that I absolutely love this book. It was a hard 5 out of 5 for me, and I absolutely look forward to reading the rest of the books in the series. Number 2 for me was Miss Percy's Pocket Guide to the Care and Feeding of British Dragons by Quinby Olson. I don't need to talk too much about this one because I just did a review of it recently, but we have a 40-year-old spinstress set in Regency-era England. She gets an inheritance from her great uncle Forthright. Among the items in that inheritance ends up being a dragon egg that soon hatches, and then her mundane life ends, and suddenly she has an adventure. This is a Regency novel, so once again there is a little romance element, but I can assure you in this case it is very chaste. There's always the appropriate Regency Victorian era chaperones involved, and both of our protagonists, Mildred Percy is 40 and her love interest is in his 50s, so we're not dealing with a bunch of teenage love here. The book was just amazing. The secondary characters really make this book, and I just loved every bit of it. Number 3 on my list, also still a 5 out of 5, is In Solitude Shadow by David Green. I actually read 3 books set in this series called the Empire of Ruin series. The 4th and final book in the series just came out this last week, and I absolutely recommend the entire series. This one is an epic fantasy novel. It is set in an empire of Haltveld, which is basically a crazy genocidal empire that has been on a long campaign to eradicate or enslave the elves of the continent. Just when they are about to eradicate the elves, then and their ancient enemy, the First People, show up, and suddenly there is just chaos in the land. This book is definitely more of a traditional epic fantasy. For those of you who are Wheel of Time fans like I am, this series is absolutely not derivative, but there are definitely some Easter eggs here and there. At one point, one of the main characters goes to an inn with a skinny innkeeper who is a jerk and, of course, utters the quote, "Never trust a skinny innkeeper." So that's where you're going to get the Easter eggs. It's not you're not getting like the magic system or anything like that. Totally its own work. But I found this whole series so far to be a lot of fun to read. I like the characters. If you like LGBTQ characters, one of the main characters is gay. There's not a ton of romance involved, but if that is something that you enjoy, then there you are. The number four book on my list is Shadow of a Dead God by Patrick Samphire. This book was a lot of fun. It was a quick, easy read. This book is basically an urban fantasy set in a single city in about Renaissance era time period, I'd guess, but it is a secondary world. Our main character, Menick Thorne, is a middling mage who is framed for a murder when he shows up at a party that he's supposed to be trying to steal something from for a buddy of his. And then the rest of the novel, which actually only takes place over like the course of like 4 or 5 days, it is incredibly action-packed. A ton happens. There's a lot of suspense. And I just found this to be like one of those books that took me like 2 days to read, even though it's 400 or 500 pages, and absolutely fun. If you like a single point of view character book, then this one is definitely for you. The second book that I read when I came back, also a SPIFBO winner, and the last of my 5-star books for the summer, is Small Miracles by Olivia Atwater. This book is a true contemporary urban fantasy. Not a ton of fantastical creatures, but we have humans and we have angels. Our main character is the Angel of Minor Temptations. They is the best way to describe them. They're angels, so they're not two genders. And our main character actually switches between portraying themselves as male and female, depending on how they feel or how they feel the situation merits itself, which is something I found really funny because it's remarked on like once or twice by the human characters, and then from then on, they just kind of roll with it. Definitely funny, definitely that traditional British humor, very dry wit. Our angel is a terrible gambler and owes another angel who is their bookie a favor, and they are supposed to help a Miss Holly Harker who has kind of had a bad run of things and has a little bit too pure of a sin score. Our main angel is supposed to help her have a little bit more fun. Obviously, things take a dramatic turn, and the stakes are a little bit higher than just one Miss Holly Harker having a good time. This is also a book that I'd recommend that you consume on audiobook. If you happen to have one credit sitting there in Audible or something like that, and you need an audiobook recommendation, then I would definitely make Small Miracles by Olivia Atwater that recommendation. That dry British humor, you have a narrator that interjects himself at times. It fits perfectly for audiobook. It's definitely a good one. And that's the last of my 5 out of 5 novels. I'm also giving the novella, The New World by Mark Lawrence, which follows Jalen from the Broken Empire series. He was the fun one of the two main characters. Remember, Yorg is the psychopath, and Jalen is the one who just wants to have fun and see how many nuns he can sleep with. Well, it turns out that 4 is too many nuns for the Pope, and he sends him and Snorri on a journey to the New World as a result. I also had 5 stars for the 2nd and 3rd books in the Empire of Ruin series. I'm not going to talk about them here because I don't want to have to include spoilers, but I would put them also as 5 stars. Probably before Small Miracles on that list, so maybe like 6 and 7 on my list. Alec Hudson is an amazing writer, and I absolutely loved his first trilogy. This Umbral Storm actually is his 2nd SPIFBO finalist. Sorry, Alec, for 2 runners-up. sometimes that's what happens. Moving on to my 4-star novels. The first one I want to talk about is The Umbral Storm by Alec Hudson. This book is a progression fantasy. Now, I'm generally not a huge fan of progression fantasies, or lit RPG. I've actually never finished another one before this. I think that element of it takes me out of that movie in my mind when we're talking about leveling up and things like that. And it did take me out of my movie in my mind a little bit here, which is why I gave it a 4-star instead of a 5-star. Aside from that, this was just a pretty awesome epic fantasy. The world building is great, even though in this case there is like an actually a even though there is actually a pretty large continent, And our party that we mainly follow actually moves around a fair amount. But I found that Alec did such a great job with the world building and like breaking down markers and things that I didn't have any sort of trouble figuring out where I was like I generally do. The basic premise of this is that you have you have a group of people who, through genetics, are able to take magical shards and insert them into their body, mostly in their chest. And as a result, they basically get godlike powers. They become superhuman, and they will vie for power. There's a whole bunch of different kinds. You have the shadow is who the main one we talk about, but there's fire, water, things like that. They all use different elements as their main power. And they're basically the rulers of the continent, and it's the way they have it split up. They're always warring and things like that. This book was action-packed, had a pretty good cast of characters, and I really felt like Alec did an awesome job with the two big characters that we see the most. He could have gone a different way that would have made it a lot less entertaining, but would have definitely been a 5 out of 5 if it weren't for the progression elements taking me out of that movie in my mind. After that, I have The 13th Hour by Trudy Skies, which they classify as a gaslamp fantasy, so think steampunk kind of, but magic actually powers an awful lot of this. This one is also kind of set in what I would guess is basically Victorian era, but I don't think that fashion necessarily is the most important thing, you know, to talk about in this. A complaint I hear from a lot of readers these days is that people don't create enough new races. Well, Trudy hasn't just created one or two, but they have created 13 new races in this novel, and all 13 are incredibly distinct and unique. You have ones that basically remind me of like fire demons. You have gold shining beautiful women. You have like Tin Man clockwork style. I mean, there are just literally all 13 are unique. And our two main characters are also in a murder mystery, kind of like in Shadow of a Dead God. But this is a book that I think probably, this is a book that half the reason I gave it a 4-star instead of a 5-star was because there was so much world building that I was lost to start off with. But a little secret and trick is that there is a companion book that is set up as a guidebook. I wish it was included with the first novel, but once I read that, which was fun in itself, it was kind of, it was entertaining and had notes from the main character of the book as they, what their thoughts were on how stupid some things were or things didn't work the way that the guidebook said. But once I read that, which like I said, was entertaining itself, then suddenly everything made a whole lot more sense and I was able to really get into the story. Probably would have thought of it as a 5 as well if I had had that to start off with. And the last of my 4 stars for the summer is The Lost War by Justin Lee Anderson. This one was also a Spiffbo winner and was picked up by Orbit. I always joke that Orbit picks up all of these, and in this case, that's definitely true. This one is an epic fantasy that is absolutely grimdark. This book is set in the Kingdom of Eden, which has been racked by a civil war. Demons and undead still roam the land, and whenever possible, people hide behind the walls of their cities. This book has a fairly large cast of point of view characters, all of whom are on the King's Council, and for most of the book, they're actually traveling together, or if they're not all traveling together, they're traveled into two groups that are close and are on missions together. This is a book where I would definitely say the female characters happen to be the ones that are more put together than the male characters, while all of them are powerful in this group. If you're someone that likes a strong female character who holds things together, then this is definitely one for you. The 12 that I mentioned so far comprise 11 novels and a novella out of the 16 I read. I would love to keep talking about these books, but I know I've already gone on long enough. Moving forward, as I continue the show, I hope to have a monthly episode where I talk about each book I have read that month, so it can be in a little bit shorter format. I'll keep doing a quarterly review where I rank all the 4- and 5-star books that I've read for that quarter. If you made it to the end, thank you very much, and I hope you all have a wonderful time reading.